Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Romans, the 6th chapter and the 4th verse. And it reads, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the third story from chapter 3 in the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The sequel. The title of the podcast today is Sandra's Introduction. Before we start with our story today, listen to the following suggestions on how to become a professional writer. Let me give you a little secret at this point. You do know it doesn't have to take you 1 year to finish your book, as I've been talking to you about in these podcasts. You could do it in a fraction of the time. And you know what? If you do that, I'll be the first to congratulate you. Now, I want to show you a way you can write your book in just 5 months. But first, you should focus on writing one chapter a month, starting with the first month, just 30 days. Now, I realize that some of you have already started writing, but whether you've started writing or not, here's the process where this could be done. That is, to write a chapter in 30 days. And that process is what I call the sentence to paragraph to chapter rule. The easiest way of describing this process is to say that you're simply putting sentences together to get to your paragraph. And several of these paragraphs will eventually complete your chapter. So this is how it works. You can very easily write just one sentence within each of the 4 segments in a day. That is, one sentence in the morning, one sentence at midday around noontime, one sentence in the late afternoon, perhaps just before dinner, and one sentence late at night, just prior to going to bed. Having completed a sentence within each of these 4 segments of the day, after 1 day, you will have written a paragraph, approximately 1/2 of a page of material. Most English teachers would agree that a typical paragraph might be anywhere from, say, 4 to 7 well-connected sentences that develop a trend of thought. That is, a paragraph. Now, if you did this every single workday of the week for 1 month, you'd have about 15 full pages of material, enough to have completed a chapter of your book. Let's say you do this every month for the next 4 months, then you would have written 5 chapters, which may be enough for your entire book. Not only that, but considering that we're beginning our writing during the summer, you could complete the book in time to market it during the Christmas holiday season, which will be coming up in a few months. Now, that's something to look forward to as you celebrate Christmas. And speaking of Christmas, you certainly can use other holidays as well, like Easter and the 4th of July, as recognizable deadlines to look forward to as you finish a segment of your writing. Can you imagine having a book in hand to show your friends and relatives at Christmas time, or maybe some other holiday? I think they may have a slightly different opinion of you if you did that. So, yes, you can complete your book in 5 months. We'll start with our story after a break. Stay with us. Welcome back. Maggie continued to entertain Sandra while at her parents' house. But the truth be told, Sandra seemed very comfortable in communicating with Missy and Matthew. Missy especially wanted to know more about Sandra's background. After eating dinner, everyone sat around the table and talked. Missy especially wanted to get to know Sandra more. Well, Sandra, have you lived in Detroit for long? And are you from that city? Missy asked her. Then Sandra replied, Well, Ms. Downs, Missy, I'm from Detroit. I was born there, but my mother, whose name was Dale, died when I was real small. I've always wondered what she was like. But once I moved away, I lost contact with my relatives there. People who could tell me everything about her. Well, I guess I'll never know. Matthew quickly interjected. Well, that's pretty sad, but how about your daddy? Sandra answered, Mr. Downs. Before she could continue, Matthew corrected her. The name is Matthew. Okay, Matthew. Sandra responded to his request. Then she continued. My father left us when I was a baby, and so I never knew him. My Aunt Sally raised me at a very early age. But she soon gave me up because she didn't have the time to care for me. Then, after being placed into a foster home for a while, I was adopted by a couple who had just moved to Detroit from Flint. Yeah, they were from right here in Flint, Mr. Downs. Matthew. I see, Matthew responded. Now listen, Matthew continued. Don't apologize for anything. We understand things like that. We're just good old home folk around here. Small town folk, you know what I mean? Yes, sir, I understand, Sandra replied. After Matthew's inquiries, Missy asked Sandra, was your aunt a religious person? Did you all attend church? Yes, we went to church, but she made me go. I wasn't really very interested in church when I was coming up, but I was so young, I don't remember much about her. Well, at least you got started, Matthew told her. Then he added, and you're a pretty little thing, too. Now, Matthew, wash your manners. Don't talk to her like that, Missy scolded her husband. But he replied, well, she is, Missy. I'm just telling you the truth. Missy quickly said to Sandra, pay no attention to my husband. He talks out of his head sometimes. Matthew didn't have a response to that comment by his wife. He just continued to gaze at Sandra, smiling all the while. Then Missy spoke a little louder in an attempt to divert attention from her husband and said to her daughter, Missy, I think you have a trusted friend here. Yes, Mama, I think she is too. With that, they all continued their discussion with one another, then returned to the living area to watch TV. After a little while, Missy took Sandra around the house to show her some of the many family pictures that had accumulated over the years, including Maggie when she was a little girl. Sandra also saw pictures of Maggie with her sister Sadie when they played in the high school marching band. Then Sandra saw another picture and said, Oh, Missy, is this your husband? He looks so handsome. Yes, that was an earlier picture, Missy stated. Then Matthew blurted out from his wheelchair, and I'm still good looking. In response to Matthew's comment, Missy made a gesture towards Sandra, then said to her, Pay him no mind, Sandra. Like I said before, he talks out of his head sometimes. Anyway, you've seen most of the house, so now we can go back into the living room and watch some TV. That's great, Missy, but I really should be heading back home. I have lots of errands to get done tomorrow, Sandra told Maggie's mother. Oh, no, Missy replied. You haven't been here very long at all, Sandra, and now you're ready to go? Missy said, while obviously disappointed. Then she showed a bit of understanding when she continued to say, But I understand, Sandra. You have things to do back home. Let me tell Maggie you are ready to go home, and I'll get your coat. Thank you, Missy, for being so understanding, Sandra responded. Maggie, Sandra's ready to leave, Missy yelled to her daughter as she had momentarily walked away into another room. Okay, Mama, I'm coming, Maggie yelled back. When Maggie got back to where they all were, she said to Sandra, I'm ready now if you are. Sandra said, Okay. Then she turned to Maggie's parents and said, Well, Missy and Matthew, I've enjoyed being here so much, and I do plan to come back to visit you sometime. It's only an hour's drive from where I live, and it wouldn't be a problem at all for me to come back, and I really look forward to it. Great, Sandra, Missy added. We look forward to you coming back to see us. You're welcome here anytime. Yeah, we're expecting you back here before too long, you hear? Matthew said. Sandra bid farewell to both of Maggie's parents when she said, I sure will come back, and thanks for everything. After that, Maggie and Sandra went out the door. Before getting completely out of view of Maggie's parents, Sandra said to them, Bye, and I'll see you two again real soon. Maggie and Sandra then got into the car. Just before driving off, Maggie yelled at her parents, who were at the door, and said, I'll be back later tonight, but don't wait up for me. Okay, Missy yelled back. Just as they drove off, Sandra waved at Maggie's parents, and they waved back, hoping it wouldn't be long before they would see her again. Soon they would be on the road heading towards Sandra's home in Detroit. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. After an enjoyable time with her parents, Sandra rode back with Maggie to her home in Detroit. All during the drive, Sandra thanked Maggie for all that she had done. She said to her, You know, Maggie, I want to thank you so much for introducing me to your parents, and I want you to know that I'll visit your folks whenever I get the chance. Maggie really felt good about that, because she knew that Missy needed as much extra help as she could get, taking care of her now disabled husband. Maggie replied to what Sandra had said by simply saying, Thank you, Sandra. I really appreciate that. Just before Sandra got out of Maggie's car, she repeated her gesture. Thanks again, Maggie, for everything. Oh, Sandra, no thanks to me. I need to thank you. Thank you for the joy that you brought to my folks, especially my father. He really needs all the encouragement he can get, given his physical condition. Maggie graciously replied. Sensing Maggie's concern for her father, Sandra assured her, Okay, Maggie, I'll check up on them every opportunity I have, and I'm sure we'll be in touch, in communication with each other. That's great, Maggie replied. Then she added, Let me get on the road and make this 1 hour drive back to Flint before it gets too late. Take care, Sandra. With that, Sandra smiled and waved, signifying her goodbye to Maggie. Sandra did say one last thing. Be careful, Maggie. It seems like a storm is brewing. Maggie replied, Okay, Sandra, I'll drive a lot slower going back. Looks like the weather is going to turn for the worst. Sandra then got out of the car and headed towards her apartment. Maggie and Sandra finally parted ways. Sandra turned around briefly, then smiled and waved goodbye to Maggie. The both of them felt wonderful about the new relationship Matthew and Mincy had developed with Sandra. Maggie expected the drive back to her parents' house would take more time than when she brought Sandra home. Just as she began to get on the open highway from the busy streets of Detroit and heading back to her parents' house, the wind had picked up significantly. Before too long, it began to rain, and Maggie found herself listening to the driving rain and roaring thunder. Strangely enough, the weather acted as a sedative. It gave her the opportunity to ponder the things, the many things going on in her life. Maggie took her time in her drive because she knew the value of driving carefully since the accident she was in that took the life of her husband, John Jr. The weather also reminded Maggie of the storms that occurred during her childhood at her parents' house. Yes, Maggie had the opportunity to reflect on her life and to ponder what the future would bring. Soon, Maggie was back at her parents' house, where she spent the night. After safely pulling up into the driveway, Maggie got out of her car and braved the stormy conditions outside. Thank goodness she had an umbrella handy. She walked a short distance from her car to the porch, and she was drenched. She found the keys her mother had given her, so she opened the door and went inside. Not wanting to disturb her parents, Maggie went straight to her room, undressed, and fell asleep in the bed of her childhood. Note, the wind and the rain weren't enough to keep her from falling into slumber as the storm continued to rage outside. By daybreak on Sunday, the weather had cleared. She attended her home church, Mark Methodist, with her parents before returning to their house to have a little bit more time together. Later that night, Maggie returned home to Chicago. Maggie took her time driving back, this time not because of the weather. No, the weather had cleared up. But rather, it gave her the opportunity to continue to think about her life while listening to soft jazz on the radio. Yes, the music also reminded her of the card game she and Fred played with the Manleys the previous weekend. It was late, and Maggie was tired, somewhat, from the day's activity. But she was relaxed as she drove because of that soothing music being played on the radio. Maggie finally made it to Central Heights after the four-hour drive from Flint. Once back home, she quietly entered her house and she found Fred was sound asleep. Maggie would soon be asleep too, getting the rest she needed from the long drive home, as well as to prepare for another week of work at her daycare. Let's take another break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. In future visits to Flint, Maggie ended up spending more time in Detroit before continuing the drive to see her parents. Sometimes she would stay in the Motor City for the entire weekend. Maggie remembered Sandra telling her how well she had gotten along with her parents, which resulted in a special relationship she had developed with Missy and Matthew. Sandra had mentioned to Maggie that both of them had provided her with the parental treatment she did not have while growing up. Maggie certainly took advantage of Sandra's new relationship with her parents. She began to limit her time going to Flint on weekends. Because Sandra was so much closer to Flint, she visited Missy and Matthew often on Saturdays and Sundays, and occasionally even during the week. Sandra told Maggie whenever she was not working at the church, she would make the one-hour drive to Flint to be with her parents when she could. Whenever she could. Assisting in any way. In any way she thought she could be helpful to them. Maggie certainly showed her appreciation to Sandra for doing that. As a consequence, Maggie ended up talking to Sandra on the phone a lot, especially after the time she was introduced to her parents. The next Monday morning after Sandra's first visit to her parents' house, Maggie and Fred talked for a good while, and much of the discussion was about Sandra visiting her parents. Yes, Maggie had finally told Fred about her taking Sandra to see her folks. It was the first time Maggie had communicated with Fred in person since she left for Flint on the previous Friday. They sat down at the breakfast table and started to discuss how their weekend went. Of course, Fred talked about his writing and Maggie detailed her weekend at her parents' house. The discussion soon turned to Sandra. Maggie said, "You know, Fred, I didn't tell you, but I stopped in Detroit and saw Sandra, my old workmate at Faith Methodist. Then she rode with me to see my parents. They enjoyed her so much." "That's great, Meg," Fred said. "I had an idea that you were going to stop by your old church," he continued. "Maybe Sandra can help you out by her visiting your parents sometimes, since she's only an hour's drive away." "Yeah," Maggie responded. "That's what she said she would do." Sandra visited Missy and Matthew on several occasions, often three and four times during the week. On weekends when Maggie did not travel to Flint, she would spend her time at home, but Sandra would often call her. Sandra had agreed to fill Maggie in on her visits to see Missy and Matthew. Sandra would check on Missy's parents whenever she could, especially those times when Maggie would elect to stay home in Chicago. Or during times when Maggie did head toward Flint, but would decide to make a detour by going to Detroit. Maggie and Sandra had developed a much closer relationship now than when they worked together at Faith Methodist. Sandra also had developed a strong bond with Maggie's parents. On many occasions during the weekends, it was Sandra, not Maggie, who was with Missy and Matthew for much of that time. After several months, Maggie felt more comfortable with her father seeing less of her because she knew he would be seeing more of Sandra. She thought that her friend could help both her parents out a lot. More than that, Maggie saw Missy and Matthew as Sandra's surrogate parents, as she had said in the past. And Maggie knew that her parents adored Sandra. Sandra's increased visits to Maggie's parents' house gave Maggie a break from going from Chicago to Flint. But strangely enough, it didn't keep her in Central Heights that much on the weekends. She was still on the road a lot, being a road warrior. But her travels would often end up in Detroit, not Flint. We're going to take another break now, and when we return, we'll finish the show. Welcome back. After a long week of work at her daycare, Maggie decided to make her journey again towards Flint on the coming weekend. On the Friday of her trip, Maggie and Fred had their typical breakfast. This time, as usual, she realized she had another long drive ahead of her. She led Fred to believe that she was on her way to see her parents again, when in reality, she harbored other plans in her mind. Meanwhile, Fred was focused on his own agenda, that being his attendance at some business meeting in downtown Chicago. After finishing breakfast, Maggie gave Fred a kiss and said, "I'll be gone when you get back. I'll see you on Sunday when I return from Flint." "Okay, Meg, drive carefully," he said, and then he was out the door. Soon, Maggie would drive off too, heading towards Flint. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like for you to remember, that whatever you may be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.